I wanted to talk to you today from the book of Genesis. So if you have your Bible, it should be an easy one to find. I'm keeping it simple, easy one to find. If you don't know where Genesis is, I'd like to welcome you to your first church experience. I'm kidding. It's amazing how different families do things differently. And a few years ago, it's been a while since I've been able to do this, but maybe 10 years ago, we only used to have at the university one service in the morning during November, December, because our students would start going away. Most students are already gone. And so a family had invited me to come for Sunday lunch. I realized that Sunday lunch is a big thing in South Africa. It is especially a big thing in afternoon socializing and napping. Oh, okay. Now you must understand, my Sunday is my work day. So I can't be arriving at church wiping off, you know, an afternoon nap. I got to be energized, full of confidence, full of faith. But anyway, I agreed. Let's go for lunch. We arrived for lunch. And I know there's no evening service, but somehow I'm feeling like there might be. Have you ever had that feeling? Thank you and amen. Have you ever had that feeling that you might be forgetting something? For about 2 years, every Saturday, I used to think I'm missing a wedding. Just because there were so many weddings. Now Vincent feels like that. Every Saturday, he starts driving around. Where am I going to marry someone today? He's just not sure, but it's coming for sure. It's coming. Now they're all going to text you. Vince, you are coming, right? Do you remember, right? And so the meal preparation was taking place, and it's a massive issue, a big story. Everybody is involved. And it was good. 2 o'clock, we ate, and then we ate again and past three, and then past four, and I'm a guest now at the house, and everybody finds their chair. Is it like that at your house? Because when you go and sit, you look at the eyes of the people and you can see them going, then you're like, not that one, that's Papa's chair. So you move on. In this house, even the Labradors had chairs. Like, you've got to wait for everyone, the parakeet, the pet, everyone. But here's the thing, I'm still the guest, right? This is unusual for me on a Sunday. Sundays are big days for me. I don't go out on Saturday night. I want to be at my best on Sunday. I reckon if a rugby player shouldn't be going out the night before a big game, a pastor shouldn't be going out the night before a big game. They all fall asleep. I'm the guest. I'm having conversation with some people. They're just not off. They're just not off. They're gone. People are snoring. The Labradors have turned themselves upside down. You thought I didn't have a heart. And stuck their heads sort of. I realized something. The culture of this house is we sleep after a big lunch on a Sunday. It would be very unwise of me to wake anybody up now. In fact, it's such a culture. I pulled up a carpet somewhere and I stretched out on the floor and I took a nap. I don't nap in the middle of the day, but I thought, hey, when in Rome, be a Greek. And is that not how the saying goes? My point to all of that is that culture is a thing that defines a group of people as in an accepted norm and behavior. And when we enter into a culture, we absorb what we see in the culture around us. And today I want to talk to you about a Christ culture. I want to talk to you about establishing a culture that is strong enough but subtle enough that when you have guests in your world, they pull up a carpet and settle in, because that's how it's done in our house. Can you say amen to that? There's a power in understanding that. I wanted you to go to Genesis because the idea of culture comes from a concept that's right in the book of Genesis. And it is chapter 2, verse 4. It's from the Amplified, which means a couple of extra words in it. This is the history of the origin of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day, that is, days of creation, that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, no shrub or plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist, a fog, dew, vapor, used to rise from the land and water the entire surface and the ground. So context is this. I hope this doesn't cause too much trouble, but this is what the verse says. God created a lot of things, but the trees and the shrubs hadn't started growing yet. Their seeds were in the ground. There was the possibility of it to grow, but not until two conditions were fulfilled were they going to grow. First of all, it had to rain, something only God could give. And secondly, a man needed to be put there to cultivate it. There are two conditions to a blessed life: rain from heaven and a man or a woman capable, confident, and determined to cultivate what God has created. The process of cultivating something is the very definition of the word culture. You cultivate something by developing it, maturing it, and growing it. In fact, I'll show you in a moment how that definition works. And just in case you think it's only Old Testament, and I know some people are very sensitive about the Old Testament, I thought I'd just quote Hebrews 6, verse 7. It says, "For soil that drinks the rain, which often falls on it and produces crops useful to those whose benefit it is cultivated, received a blessing from God." So I want to share with you from the scripture that there are three things happening: a possibility, rain from heaven, and a cultivating person who develops a blessing in their lives. Today, I want to encourage you that you can pray and ask God to send down blessings, but your ability to cultivate that blessing into something will not produce fruit if you don't step into it. You are a necessary ingredient in your own blessing. Can you say amen to that? You're a necessary ingredient in your own blessing. There is a culture to things. Some of you know this story on cultures. Always know, this is free sales advice, always know your customer. A salesman had come to my father and mother and they wanted to sell dinnerware. It was a new product. I remember it so clearly. It was amber glass plateware. Its biggest advantage was that it never breaks. The salesman's climax was to take a plate and throw it on the ground and it would bounce all over but not break. Now, if you know Greeks, we don't want that plate. We want breakable plates. So my father, I mean, not for everything, but so my father said, "Oh, I'm sorry, you're looking for someone other than a Greek. We like to break our plates." He didn't get a sale that day for the simple reason they didn't understand the culture of the people he was talking. Now, if he had come to my father and said, "You know how your plates always break? I've got a plate for you that you can pass on to your kids. It's going to last." My dad might have even bought it. Knowing my mom, she would have bought it, put it in the shelf. No, my mom's not like that. She's not done with that yet. Put it in the shelf until this time next year when a bug would bite her and she would want to clear it all out and then put it out for sale. And we'd like go to the supermarkets and we'd be like, "That's our Christmas present. Mom, why is it on sale?" "Well, you didn't use it since last Christmas. Somebody else must use it." Understand culture. Here's a definition I found for you that'll help you understand what a biblical culture is. First of all, it's the obvious one: the acquiring of something with an acquired taste. Do you know that almost everything of value you learn to enjoy, you're not born with it? Almost everything of value. I know I'm sharing so many Greek stories today. Please forgive me or join me. I didn't really like the taste of olives. And there's a specific traumatic reason for that. My gran had, she was about half my height. No, she really was. No, she came here, she'd be at Young Guns right now. All 109 of her, she'd be like, "We must go that side." Anyway, she was explaining to me how everything works in Cyprus, and she was a farmer, and she said, "Oh, this is an olive tree." So I'm like, "Oh, cool, I'm going to sneak out and have me some olives." Yeah, you know what happened. Olives can't just be eaten. off a tree. They're as bitter as you can imagine yesterday's result. But I didn't know that. I took one. I threw it in my mouth. I took three, four. I thought, I'm going to get away with this in my mouth. Hard as a stone, bitter as. I didn't know it has to be processed. I didn't know that the olive has to be taken off the tree, then it has to be soaked in salty water for weeks on end, and then the saltiness must be removed by a continual washing process and a washing process, and then you add oil to it, and then the oil infuses it, and then you add some spices in it, oregano and things, and you get it to the other side, and it's like, oh, olives, Greek olives. Some stuff in your life is bitter if you just pick at it. You don't know you got to stick it in some stuff and get some salt onto it, the salt of the word, and then you got to wash it and wash it and wash it and wash it, and then you got to get some oil anointing it, and then you got to spice it a bit. And some of you are just like too bitter. It's an acquired taste. It's a going to church is not natural. It's acquired. You develop it. You cultivate it, because blessing comes from cultivating things. And seeds in the ground don't grow unless there's a man willing to cultivate it. You want to be the CEO of a multinational? No problem. He'll give you the seed for it, and then he'll step back and watch how you cultivate it. And then he'll pour rain on it and step back and watch how you cultivate it. And some people dream big but cultivate small. Can you say amen to that? Dream big, but cultivate small. Cultivate accordingly. Second definition. I'm keeping an eye on the time because there's still water baptism outside. Kingdom Investors made that water baptism thing for us, and you might wonder why not inside, because it's not approved by safety to have people roaming around on a concrete floor that is a swimming pool, people slipping, sliding. So we got to be safe. We'll come up with a plan for Easter. The ideas, customs, and behaviors of a particular group of people. I like this next definition. To maintain, such as in tissue cells, in a condition suitable for growth. To culture something. To maintain something living in an environment suitable for growth. How amazing is that? Do you have a Christian culture in your life? By the way, the last definition is just like a for free today. One of the definitions of a culture is to become hidden or shut off from. Something happened there. From view. Just as a definition, just for the sake of the fact that it was part Latin and part Greek. Do you know that if it's too hard to get into something or too hard to get out of something, it's called a cult. And what bothers me is that by that definition, some churches are cults. Now, I was going to say it. I just wanted to oil my... I was going to say it. No, I'm not scared to say it. If it's too hard to get in and too hard to get out, you're in a cult. Get out. Must go to a place where you can be cultivated for growth, not cultured for the pastor. Anyway, another day, conversation, another... I don't feel like... A bunch of pastors out there, I love you all so much. Thank you for watching via live stream. Come visit us, but stop creating people you like. Create people like Jesus. So... I, as a guess, I would say the size of 95% of churches is that it is reduced to the group of people the pastor can cope with. Too much coffee. Three things to cultivate in the environment of your faith. First of all, I want to encourage you to cultivate clarity. Watch the danger of being vague. The danger, here's what happens when things are vague in your life. If you're not sure, somebody else will decide for you. I'm sitting at a table with some pastors the other day. I've been meeting a lot of pastors lately because I'm praying that next year we're going to have a pastors and church leaders conference here in Port Elizabeth. And we'll invite, I can't keep traveling around, but we invite them all to come here and we'll share our story and listen and hear from theirs and grow together. Amen. And so we're at lunch now at a restaurant. It's a very bad decision of a restaurant. Because they took me to a Turkish restaurant. And I'm Greek. It's not vague, like we are fighting at the moment. Didn't you know that? We're fighting. Go research the Cyprus War. We're fighting. Anyway, I'm at a Turkish restaurant and I look like this, and the owner is talking to me in some sort of Arabic language. I'm like, my daughter and dears, man and dears, utetani. And he's like, oh, he says, you're closer. I said, yeah, I don't know. And yes, I'm having too much fun on that. And here's the problem. We've got a whole lot of pastors, and now I don't know what the prayer culture is before food. Because in some environments, the chips don't have to be prayed for. You can start with the chips, but not the protein. How many of you know what I'm talking about? In other environments, you pray for yourself. You know, like everyone just suddenly closes their eyes. You left there, greeting the waiter. Various people in the restaurant, these people are meditating. I don't know what's going on. And then my all-time favorite, we stand and hold hands. And if you're charismatic, you go into tongues. I'm like, hey, what disease does this thing have that we have to go to such lengths to pray for it? My personal prayer is I pray over the trolley at Woolies. Lord, every meal that comes out of these ingredients, can you bless it, please? Because for me to sit at home alone and do grace, it's creepy. You know, dinner for one, let's just bow our heads. It's awkward. Very awkward. So I don't advise it for you. Well, this was one of those groups that nobody decided. So I thought, oh, they don't do the whole thing. Like, so they were all chatting and they started nibbling on the chips, which somehow are excluded from the kingdom of God. So I was like, cool, I'm gonna dig into my chicken, and I'm like, chicken. And then the pastor says, let's just give thanks first. But you know, like that, with that tone of, really, you're gonna fly here from PE, you got no culture. You got no culture here, you're gonna. So I said, can I pray, please? I said, Lord, I thank you so much for the food, for what we're about to receive, and for the chips that we have already received. I do pray you're blessed. Don't come for me. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Don't get vague. If you don't know what's going on, someone else will decide. The reason why a teenager can come into your house and befriend your teenager and change them is because you didn't put culture into them, so they are adopting the culture of the next nearest person they can find, because a vacuum won't work. If you're not coming to church on Sunday, I'm telling you, you're going somewhere else. You're doing something else, because vacuums get filled. Don't stay vague. Philippians 2:12. So then, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. That is, cultivate it. Bring it to full effect. Actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. Cultivate it. See, right from Genesis, the seeds were in the ground, but nothing grew until God could find a man who would cultivate it. And when he found the man, he sent the rain. Most people think, Lord, bless me and I will be good with it. God's instruction from Genesis is, be good and I'll send the rain on you. Just be good and I'll send the rain on you. Just be good and I'll say, be excellent in all that you do and I'll send the rain. Cultivate what you've got and I'll send the rain on you. You'll have such a field, you won't know what to do with it. I always used to count the dimensions to say, Lord, could I please be blessed like this? I didn't realize that if I had simply said, Lord, will you bless me? The dimensions will be wherever I put my feet. Wherever I put my feet. Secondly, cultivate conviction. In the absence of conviction, your opinions are constantly open for discussion. If you want to change conduct, change culture, and conduct will follow. I know I've shared this before. I've got 8 minutes. Are you still okay? Are we good? I grew up mostly in boarding school, high school and university. It was good for me. It's not good for everybody. I get it. It was good for me. And I got home. I had to go home every year for Christmas. It's time of the year, you know? Some of you know the story. And I felt I'd become a man now. I was in grade, I don't know, what's standard 8? I still remember the grades, you know? And I mean the standards. I like to joke, that's because when we were at school, we had them. I know, it's cheesy. I know, it's okay. Okay. Wow. Still gets that reaction. You keep doing that, I'm going to keep saying it. Until Jesus heals you. I got home, I felt like I was a man, and we sat down at dinner, and for the first time, I called my mom by her name. Look at you. I could have told you I got drunk for 3 weeks and wouldn't have gotten that kind of reaction. Wow, I like you so much. We should get together and be at church. My mom's name is Naomi. So I said, Naomi, is there some Coke in the fridge? My dad leaned over and held her hand down. The rest of the night, I was like a disturbed man. When's it gonna happen? When's he gonna? No, I was too old for a hiding. But my it would be better if my dad had given me a hiding. I know it's illegal now. I get it, it's illegal. It's very worrying, but illegal. Would have been better because the other approach was to be addressed by my father. Now, I think I'm okay with words. You ever met my father? He digs back into the time of Adam. And he comes for you with a 10-ton truck. It wasn't a long conversation, as long as I thought. He said, George, my boy, reinforcement, will you come help me get the meat from the braai? It's 4 chops. I mean, you don't need 2 adults to get it. So I know what's happening. I'm already in other tongues, Lord Jesus. I just thank you. Thank you for a fruitful life so far, Lord. Whatever happens now, it's on you. Thank you, Jesus. My dad just said one sentence to me. He said, that might be how they talk in the homes at boarding school, not in my house. You're going to be 50. You're going to phone. You're going to say, Mommy. It's nice that you applaud for that and that you abuse me for my indiscretion because I've got a sentence for you. That might be how they do things at your work, at your school, or at your university, but not in his house. We don't do it like that. We're cultivating something that is a blessing. And we don't need more seeds sown if we don't have the maturity to cultivate what's given. Colossians chapter 3:17. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your life, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. None of this doing your own thing. None of this lack of common sense, you know. Let the word of God have the rule of your house. I mean, give it so much room, it's extreme. Because that's where the authority is. Finally, develop a culture of Christian conversation. People, I don't have the time I would like for this because I'd like the 80-odd people getting baptized today between the two services to get ready. By the way, if you're here and you have a conviction and you want to be baptized, you can. We're not a cult. It's not hard to get in. We'll make sure you can get out of the pool. But otherwise, it's a cult. It's a cult. I don't see any of that. Like, there was no, like, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you. Just complete this course. Submit your bank statements. There's none of that. Just follow. Just come. Come. Everybody's welcome. His culture is so strong. You come here with a different culture, you're going to change. Conversation. People often ask me, as a Christian, should I stop swearing? Can you show me where in the Bible? I can, actually. The Bible says, let no unwholesome communication proceed from your mouth, but only such as useful to the hearer. The problem with that is in our kind of church, real people, there is somebody sitting out there going, no, that word's going to be helpful to the hearer. The hearer needs to hear that word. No, I'm being very helpful. Someone's got to tell him. So my answer is this. You're asking the wrong question. Can you say Jesus is Lord when you need to? If you can include the correct conversation, it will squash out what shouldn't be there. It's always been like that. In all of faith, you receive and he removes. Turn it around where you're trying to remove so that you can receive. The Bible has a term for this called dead works. It's a dead thing trying to move a dead thing in order to pretend to be alive, to receive an alive thing. No, a dead thing receives the breath of life and comes to life. We are spiritually dead. We receive the breath of God, just like in Genesis. And then we come alive. That's the only way. I don't know about your word choice, whether it's useful or not. I do wish Christians wouldn't get so freaked out about things. But I do wish that people would talk more about the positive than spend all their time trying to edit the negative. I've met so many bland Christians. They've edited so much out without adding anything in. There are nothing but a scrap of pieces of paper here and there with nothing to say, nothing to admire, no color, just bland. Because they spent all their time cutting stuff out. Please put something in. Please put something in. Shall I give you the verse? The clock says I have 1 minute and 4 seconds. Pursue love, 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, with eagerness, make it your goal, your earnest desire to cultivate the spiritual gifts, to be used by believers for the benefit of the church. Someone's calling you. But especially that you might prophesy. And I wanted to use this verse because people think prophecy is a very creepy thing, and the way most people do it, it is creepy. But here's what it is. Prophecy is to speak. Brackets is when the Amplified says, let me explain. To speak a new message from God to the people. That's what prophecy is. It's not, I see you. Oh, you're going to be married next year, George. I mean, every year someone gives me that. I tell them, just all get together and choose a date. But especially that you might prophesy. What is prophecy? To speak a new message. Some of you need to be prophets in your home. Some dads here need to prophesy to their children a new message from God. Some mothers need to be speaking prophetically over their husbands, over their kids. The pastors need to be speaking prophetic. What is it? A new message of encouragement to the people of God. Don't come tell me that you've assessed some negative critical thing. That's for the news. Prophecy is from God. For we are God's fellow workers, his servants, working together. You're God's cultivated field, his garden, his vineyard, God's building. Ah, so good. Every time somebody speaks something from God, he's cultivating you. By the way, anytime anybody speaks something over you that you believe you're being cultivated. Whose culture will you land up with? In conclusion, I am Greek. I come from a Greek culture. But above that, I am Christian. And I must have a stronger Christian culture than even a Greek culture. I ask you to please apply the same rule over your culture. Christ first, and everything else only such as is beneficial to my faith. Can you say amen? Thank you very much, everybody. Let's stand. Thank you. So here's what will happen. Please would you remain standing for a moment, not leave, so that our crew can get things ready. Those who are leaving now are going to prepare the visitors' lounge, get the baptism section ready. There'll be music outside, food trucks available, sports activities for families and kids. I know that volunteers have been preparing throughout the morning. We're encouraging you to stick around and have a family day with us. Our goal, our dream, our vision is that every year, at least twice a year, we'll do something like this. Hang out a bit, get to know one another in the midst of what big church is like, but especially celebrate baptisms and dedications. But could I take a moment to pray with you? Would you close your eyes for a bit and allow me the privilege of asking you a rather direct question? What culture are you? Can you say, I want a Christian culture? That's what I want. That's what I need. Is there a seed in the ground, but you haven't grasped the idea of cultivating things so that they grow? Pay some attention to them so that they grow. Or maybe you're here today and you've been a spectator and an observer. You've stood at a distance or even in the middle of it, but you've never made the connection. You've never joined the dots enough to say, oh, this is it. I need to be a follower, and then from there, something fruitful comes into my life. It would be my privilege to pray with you. So while eyes are closed, if you're in the place where you need to join the dots, cross the line of faith, make a commitment, or you're in this place and you're in that space where you need to cultivate what's there, the seed that has been planted, so it becomes something fruitful. It'd be my privilege to pray over you. So wherever you are, while everyone's kind of being discreet at the moment, would you raise your hand long enough for me to see it? Thank you. Thank you. Wow, everywhere. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Keep your hand raised long enough for me to see it, and I'll ask you to put it down in a moment, literally all over the auditorium. So here's what we'll do. You can put your hand down again. We're going to pray a prayer out loud, everybody, to support you who raise your hand. When we're done, two options are available to you. You could come to the front here for personal prayer if you feel there's more that needs to be prayed about. Or if you're making a decision to be a follower and it's never something you've really fully embraced and you'd like a Bible and some information on how to proceed, we have a free Bible available to you and we'd love to be able to give you information on how to take your journey forward. Our commitment is to be your coach as you figure out your road forward. Church, could we pray this prayer out loud together? Will you just join me and repeat after me, everyone, but especially those who raised their hands. Lord Jesus, I accept today that I've been far from you, but you've always been close to me. Please forgive me for ignoring you, cutting you off, or living a life in bondage. Come into my life. Take over. Draw me into a new way of living. Help me cultivate a Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give God a shout of praise and thanksgiving?